Well, let's bring in Curtis Pashelka into the conversation. We'll get his sense of what happens next here for the San Jose Sharks. And Curtis has been covering the San Jose Sharks for the mercurynews.com. Curtis, thanks for joining us. And number one, getting Erik Karlsson done, giving him the big money that he was asking for, does it make Sharks fans feel pretty good about this investment, considering the Sharks have the best medical records when it comes to his injuries this past year?
Yeah, I think they've, you know, we just got off a conference call with Doug Wilson, and he feels confident that, you know, after a summer, this summer rehab for Karlsson, that he'll be able to come into training camp, be 100% ready to go once camp begins. And so, yeah, this is, you know, there is some question marks about, you know, long-term health in terms of Erik Karlsson's, you know, what he might be able to bring to the team for years to come. But as of right now, I think the Sharks are pretty confident that they've got one of the best players in the world, and he can make an impact for a long time.
Well, and this also goes down to the philosophy that Doug Wilson has always had. You always make room for star players, superstars, no matter how you get them. Even if you have a decent defense already, Doug Wilson will not bypass a chance to get star players and then keep them in the fold, especially when they're under 30 years old. And as much as we sit here and talk about the cap implications, he's usually of the mind of, let's get the best players we can and we'll figure the rest out later.
Yeah, and, you know, from his perspective, this is an opportunity. You know, once you've got a guy like Erik Karlsson in-house, you want to do everything you can to keep him here. And I think that was on the Sharks' minds basically from the minute they got him from the Senators in September, was to try to make him feel comfortable, make him and his wife feel like they're part of the organization, a big part of the organization. And you know, so once you do get him, you know, it's important to make sure that he feels welcome here. And for the Sharks' perspective, you know, he is a difference maker. I mean, no two ways about it. He's a guy that when he's healthy, when he's on, makes a huge difference for the Sharks team. They didn't get much of a healthy Erik Karlsson this season. You know, after the first couple of months of the year, he was still kind of figuring out his way. The Sharks were still figuring out what their identity was with Karlsson in the lineup. But things really started to click for about a 6-7 week period from early December to mid-January before Erik Karlsson got hurt, where the Sharks were arguably one of the best teams in the league, if not the best team in the league. So I think Doug Wilson figures, you know, this is an opportunity. We've got a lot of our other guys in their prime or just coming into their prime. Let's stay competitive. Let's remain one of the top teams in the league. And, you know, Doug Wilson and from ownership, you know, ownership on down for with Hasse Plattner, there's a team that's never going to be in a rebuild, so they're always going to be going for it. And I think today was a pretty good indication of that.
Sat mentioned cap implications, and though Doug Wilson will maybe worry about some of those finer details later, there are cap implications to keeping Karlsson here this morning. And if I have to ask you, Curtis, which player now is the one on the outs of San Jose? If it's not Erik Karlsson and you keep him for that contract, who is now the most logical guy to say goodbye to his teammates in San Jose?
Well, logically, it would be Joe Pavelski, just because I don't see him taking necessarily a pay cut from the $6 million he was earning per season over the last 5 years, especially coming off a 38-goal year. So potentially him, but I think that, you know, I don't know if the Sharks are just going to simply just part ways with him. I think it could be a situation where a trade might be in the works once Doug's able to sit down with Joe Pavelski's agent Dan Plant and kind of go from there, figure out what the parameters of a new contract might look like. And if Doug Wilson figures that's something he'd be able to do, then I think he'd be able to kind of swing maybe another move or two, maybe try to free up the room. Free up some room to keep Joe Pavelski, just because he is such a heart and soul type player. That might involve a trade of one of their defensemen, say a Brendan Dillon or a Justin Braun. Maybe they'll try to clear up some of that space. Maybe try to trade another forward, say a Melker Karlsson, who's making $2 million next season, or their backup goalie, Aaron Dell, is making also close to $2 million. So there's different ways to go about it. Doug Wilson just said that, you know, nothing's been ruled out. There's no rush to judgment. There's no, people shouldn't, you know, just automatically say A plus B equals C. There's a lot of ways to go about it, so it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting next week and a half here for the Sharks to see where they kind of go from here.
How committed do you think the Sharks are in trying to retain the services of Gustav Nyquist, who seemed like he was a pretty good fit there in the Bay Area?
Yeah, I think he was a pretty good fit. You know, once they were able to kind of find out where he fit best, which was alongside Logan Couture on that wing with Timo Meier on the other side of that line. So I'm not sure, you know, if that's really going to be a long-term solution, I think, or a long-term there's a long-term agreement to be had there between the two sides, especially if Nyquist is asking north of $5 million. I mean, you got to make a choice there at that point. I mean, if you can't keep Pavelski and Nyquist, so you know, what do you do from that standpoint? Nyquist is obviously a lot younger than Joe, but is he the same type of player? Do you get the same type of leadership out of him, or the same type of impact out of him as you might have Joe Pavelski once again? So I would be surprised, to be honest, if Gus Nyquist sticks around and signs with the Sharks, but you never know. Stranger things can happen, and I, you know, Gus Nyquist loved it in San Jose, but is it a long-term fit? I'm not so sure.
Well, you're right. It's one thing to try to keep Joe Pavelski. It just seems like a guy like Nyquist is it would be really difficult to make that work cap-wise. But one of the things that Doug Wilson has always done well, and it seems like he's confident he can do so yet again this offseason, is sign guys on those favorable bridge deals after their entry-level contracts run out. Even Tomáš Hertl had that two-year deal worth $3 million before signing the bigger extension this past year. Timo Meier is in line for an extension. He's an RFA. Same with Kemo Labanc. How is he so confident, Doug Wilson, that is, that he can get these guys signed without anybody offer sheeting them and forcing them to pay their guys more on that second contract?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure he is terribly confident about that. You never know if an offer sheet's going to come down, on say June 26th or after that point for either Meier or Kevin LeBanc. But I think you mentioned, you know, after the Sharks had their locker cleanout day that, you know, he is confident that he can work with some of these players to get them to buy in and to kind of realize that, hey, I mean, we will take care of you long term. Right now, maybe a bridge deal makes more sense for you and for the organization, because Timo Meier can sign a 2 or 3 year deal now and then really cash in at the end of that contract. So maybe it makes sense for both sides. I don't think Timo Meier himself has a preference one way or another. I think, you know, obviously he'd love to get an 8-year deal too, but I don't think that's going to be in the cards. So I would tend to think, even though Timo Meier might have some options going forward, he'd love to stay in San Jose, try to make it work, you know, 2 or 3 year deal and kind of go from there. So we'll see what happens, but I think that's the way it's going to play out for Meier. It's just a sign a bridge deal bank on himself, bet on himself, and cash in down the road.
Well, you also mentioned that they may move out guys like Justin Braun or Brendan Dillon, final years of their contracts, and they're pretty, I mean, the contracts are okay, $3.8 million for Braun, $3.2 for Brendan Dillon. And when you start looking at a guy like Tim Heed, who's unrestricted free agent, who plays the right side as well, never had a real good chance of getting on the power play in San Jose. What do you think of Tim Heed and the value guys like Dillon and Justin Braun present?
Well, I think everybody in the organization likes Tim Heed. It was just a matter of being in the position he was in that just playing time was just not going to be, very consistent. You know, he was basically the seventh or eighth defenseman for most of the season. And even when the Sharks got hit by injuries in the playoffs with Carlson and some other players, Tim was a guy who was usually on the outside looking in. So, I don't know if I think this is where it's a situation where the Sharks might be looking for a guy from the AHL to maybe step in. Jacob Middleton has had a good couple of years with their farm team, the San Jose Barracuda. He might be able to come in make an impact and maybe be a slightly cheaper option than if he decided to re-sign Tim Heath. So that's part of this too. I mean, while some guys go out, you've got to get some guys coming up from underneath to sort of help fill that void and sort of help that the salary cap situation as well. For every guy that you sign to these big deals, you've got to have a couple of guys that are on entry level contracts making less than $1 million a year. So That figures into this too, trying to get everybody under the cap and figuring that if you probably don't maybe lose a whole lot if you lose a Tim Heed to free agency and you have to bring in a guy from underneath to sort of fill that void.
Would Doug Wilson give Joe Thornton another spot on the roster if he decides to come back? I know it's entirely up to Joe right now, but he's entering an age 40 year and stayed relatively healthy for the most part this past year, though.
Yeah. Doug just said the quote. I mean, you said there's always going to be a place for Joe in the organization, whether that's a player or a more of a ambassador capacity or whatever it might be. You know, it's all up to Joe right now. I think if Joe wants to come back and play, I think Doug would be amenable to that. Kind of be flexible as far. I think Joe has shown in the past he can be flexible in terms of the deal he'll get from the Sharks, a 1 year, whether it's $2, $3, $4 million. I think Joe will be flexible with if he does decide to come back with the kind of type of deal he'd be able to work out with the Sharks and one way or another, he'll be part of the Sharks organization in the future. It's just a matter of whether or not he'll be playing. And still there's no indication one way or another whether Joe would play for another year or not. But, he'll be a Shark for life. There's no question about it.
He is Curtis Pashelka, at Curtis Pashelka on Twitter, courtesy of themercurynews.com/Sharks. Curtis, thank you for your insight on the Sharks. I'm sure it's going to be a busy couple of weeks for San Jose as well. So we look forward to hearing what else may be coming down the pipe.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your insight. That's Curtis Pashelka. So,
Sportsnet 650.